CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betts with my colleague, Captain Jerry Hendricks of the National Review Online, author of The Coffin Corner Metaphor, When the U.S. is Overextended and It Needs a Solution. A solution in the industrial base, not only for land-based weapon systems being poured into Ukraine, and the Air Force needs to be enhanced, but the U.S. Navy is the force projection that matters. We are a two-ocean continent. We are a two-ocean thinking war. Right now, the threat in Taiwan and the threat in the Black Sea Basin is naked. We can see it. We can't see into the future. And what is to be done is to increase the industrial base. We're concentrating on the U.S. Navy. Jerry, I understand from a report to Congress that the projections going out to 2035 and then to 2052, maximum possibilities of under three alternatives is 367 ships by 2052. That's maximum under alternative three. Is that adequate to keep out of the coffin corner, given the threats we can see now, Terry?
No, actually, it's not. I think that, you know, the minimum number that we need, that we've all talked about, is 355. But the real number that we need in the U.S. Navy to be able to operate confidently throughout the world and uphold our interests is around 450. And in fact, for a wartime environment, we need something closer to 600. So this is something that I wrote about in my 2020 book on To Provide and Maintain a Navy, that 450 number should be the one that we're focused on, which would be a mixture of manned, traditional manned ships as well as unmanned platforms. Right now, those are good numbers. I'm glad the Navy is talking about those. But again, we do not have the defense industrial base, the shipbuilding base, or the ship repair base in order to support that fleet growth. And so we need to make significant, dedicated, focused investments in that industrial base.
The coffin corner came once upon a time. It was called 1940. 1940, there was a war in Asia, the Japanese Empire. There was a war in Europe where the German forces had overrun major parts of the frontier with France. And we know that Hitler would dance in Paris in June. We also know that Britain was alone in the summer of 1940. And yet, coming out of the Depression, with all of the hesitation of getting involved in a war in Europe again, Congress passed, at the direction of FDR, the Two Ocean Navy Act, the Vincent Walsh Act, that over these next years built capital ships, aircraft carriers, destroyers, submarines, and also was part of the building of the Liberty Fleet. Are we capable of that, Captain, to respond to the coffin corner of 2022, a two-ocean Navy Act?
John, we are capable as a people, as a nation. We have all the resources that we need. What we lack is the guiding vision and the leadership. So you mentioned the fact that you had both leadership from the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who had, by the way, had been the Assistant Secretary of the Navy during World War I and knew how to build a Navy in wartime. And then leadership in the Congress, Vincent in particular there. And you had leaders in the U.S. Navy, people like Ernest King, who understood the environment and knew what needed to be done. And so when those things align, you know, when you have alignment between the president and the secretary of the Navy and the leadership of the service, you can get amazing things done. And we saw that also during the Reagan administration when there was a lineup between Reagan and John Lehman, his secretary of the Navy, to get things done. And we built, you know, a significant number of ships in a relatively short period of time. Nothing like what we did, as you said, in 1940 with the Two Ocean Navy Act. John, we're talking about taking a Navy that was 470 ships in 1940 and building out to 3,700 ships by the end of 1943. That's the type of industrialization that we were able to accomplish, going from essentially 7 fleet carriers to 19 fleet carriers in essentially a 2.5 period year period of time. That's the type of thing that we're going to need to have, is that level of investment and focus. I'm not saying that we need that level of numbers, but we need that type of focus in order to direct limited resources in the right places to expand that industrial base and maximize production of these ships and aircraft that we need to confront the two great powers that are confronting us today. We are in a great power competition that's in excess of what we saw in the Cold War.
Do we have the shipyards? You've taught me we do not. So we need to start with developing or reawakening shipyards. Are they there and dormant, Jerry?
There are some shipyards that are in dormant. There's some smaller shipyards like Bollinger, and there's a couple of shipyards out in Oregon and Washington State, Vigor shipyards that we are not making maximum use of. They haven't been modernized. They haven't been industrialized and expanded. If the U.S. government began to make directed investments in those shipyards and giving them contracts for new types of ships like these large unmanned or medium unmanned surface vessels, we could begin expanding those out and bringing those shipyards along. But we have not done that yet. That's what we need. We really have about 23 shipyards in the United States that we could use. Right now, we're only using 7. And so we have to be smarter about our industrial policy.
The coffin corner. I stay with that metaphor. Is there awareness that we've overcommitted and under-resourced in Washington, Jerry? Do they see it? We have about a minute.
Yeah, so I think that they do see it. The question is they haven't come to grips with the types of policies it's going to take. We have some leaders on Capitol Hill on both sides who understand this. There are some leaders even within the Pentagon who understand this. But again, they have not seen alignment. We have not seen the type of leadership yet out of the president either that would be necessary to get this type of an activity going in trail to begin moving out. So we need to have leadership from the White House, the Pentagon, and the Congress all together. And thus far, we have not gotten those three things to line up.
And right now, Captain, projecting into the Black Sea, is that a bridge too far? 30 seconds.
No, it's not too far. If the U.S. Navy wanted to go to the Black Sea, it would do a declarative policy that we are going to begin operating in the Black Sea. And if anything happens to the U.S. Navy while it's operating in the free seas on international waters of the Black Sea, that would be viewed as an act of war, at which time Russia would be held responsible for any actions that would be taken against the U.S. Navy by, you know, Russian forces or mines. I think that if the U.S. Navy made that declarative policy, we would see a change in the tone of the Russian Navy's activities and perhaps even the Russian people.
The Coffin Corner, Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy, retired, writing in National Review Online. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.